Melody Barnes, CEO, had a vision to help parents equip kids. Practical tips, address behaviors, implement strategies, change the atmosphere in your home.
Hello, and welcome to the Family Nuggets Podcast. My name is Melody Barnes, your Family Nugget Giver. What is a Family Nugget? It's nuggets of information that I have gleaned from over 20 years as a teacher. Teachers are good advice givers. But do you have a teacher that's right in your back pocket? Well, now you do. Now, I must tell you, this advice is meant to be used for your enjoyment and is not meant to replace professional counseling. Please seek professional counseling outside the realm of this podcast if you are in need of additional help. Family Nuggets loves families, and if you love having a teacher that loves families with you all the time, then welcome to my podcast and enjoy. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Family Nuggets Podcast. My name is Melody Barnes, and I am your host. Today, we are going to be talking about one of my favorite TV shows, Abbott Elementary. And the topic we're going to be discussing is one of my favorite topics, and that is family interaction. Most schools and teachers call it family engagement. But I believe there is a shift happening with family engagement, how we engage our families, how we communicate with our families, how we invite families into the classroom. So that is why I am so excited to talk about this episode. Also, I must give a disclaimer. I already recorded this episode about 3 weeks ago, did all the editing, published it, and then listened to it in my car, and I heard lots of pounding throughout the episode because I think I was hitting the desk with passion and making the microphone do a kickback sound, and it was terrible. My son was in the car. We were both laughing, and he was like, "I'm glad you can laugh about this, Mom." And I was like, "You know, I have to laugh because that's how I learn." So I'm going to be very cognizant of my hands, make sure that I am not hitting the desk or hitting anything else that's going to make the microphone make a big popping sound. Also, another disclaimer, I tend to laugh a lot, even if it's just a chuckle, when I am doing podcasts, and oftentimes I edit it out. So what I'm going to try to do today is be more authentic and allow the laugh to happen. Hopefully it doesn't like make the sound distort too much. Also, if you're watching this on YouTube or any other platform, you can tell I don't know where to look. So I'm really getting used to recording my face while I'm also recording my voice. So there's lots of idiosyncrasies happening right now, lots of intersections, but I am so excited about doing this. I'm willing to put myself out there and do the thing. Okay, so let's talk about Abbott Elementary, episode 20, season 2, Educator of the Year. I was so enjoying this episode, and there was about 2 minutes into the episode where Miss Teague announces that she has a student who knocks over books, and the student says that they hate geography. And, you know, she'll say, "Deshaun, please." And this is a student. And Deshaun's response is, "Shut up." So we definitely have an interaction between teacher and student where the teacher is trying to control the situation and the student says, "Shut up," instead. So she says she's tried talking to him, incentivizing with rewards, but nothing is working yet. She uses the word yet, which I love so much because that is a big word in education. And all it means is the student doesn't have a particular skill quite yet, or we haven't managed to gain what we need in order to accomplish a goal yet, but it doesn't mean that it will not happen. In fact, we believe it will. So we say the word yet. So she says she has resorted to a parent meeting, and Miss Teagues lets out a big sigh when she says that. Like, I had to resort to a parent meeting. Big sigh, right? So she also has decided she's going to move the teacher meeting that she had planned with this student's parent to today. It was supposed to be next week, but she's moving it to today. And one thing that I mentioned in the last time I did this episode was that I mentioned that it is definitely okay to call a parent into the classroom to speak with them. However, it is most likely not the best idea to call them into the school that day when the family has no prior plans to do so. We have to give parents room and space when we're asking them to come into the building. So, when she gets there, Miss Teagues calls the parent, Miss O'Neill. The parent says, oh, Cassandra. Cassandra's fine. So she says, Miss Cassandra. Again, she's trying to let Miss Teagues know, you could just call me Cassandra. And then Miss Teagues says, please have a seat. So now we've got the two adults in the room alone in the classroom. And Miss Teagues says, first of all, thanks for coming in. I know it's hard coming in the middle of the workday. So Miss Teagues does acknowledge that it's hard. And the parent responds, oh, it's fine. I just had to have somebody cover my shift. So is it fine or is it sarcasm? Definitely sarcasm. But she's trying to make it work, I believe. That's why she came. Okay, so Miss Teague says, I've been dealing with some issues with your son, Deshaun. Minor issues since the beginning of the year, and I've been dealing with them. But as the year has gone on, things have gotten progressively worse. So this is kind of where I went off on a tangent the last time that I recorded this. And I'm going to talk about what I was sort of worked up about. And that is, there's a few things happening in these sentences that is going to make it hard for the rest of the meeting to go smoothly, to go well. And again, I do know this is a television show. There's only so much you can do. The writers have done a phenomenal job of even bringing such an impactful moment into this episode called Educator of the Year. It's called, Educator of the Year. So we have this juxtaposition of one teacher getting an award of Teacher of the Year and one teacher getting ready to hear that they are not the Teacher of the Year in their eyes from a parent. And I think this is kind of where the jumping off point is. So let's talk about it. So again, Miss Teague says, I've been dealing with some issues with your son, Deshaun. So she's placing the ownership on the mother, saying, this is your son, your child. And then she kind of backpedals a little bit and says, they're minor issues. But you've already given, Miss Teague has already given the impression that these are issues enough, they're big enough rather, that I needed to talk to you. And let's add on top of that another layer that it's been happening since the beginning of the year. And let's also add to that, she says, and I've been dealing with them. But as the year has gone on, things have gotten progressively worse. So basically, Miss Teagues is saying, you know, like, not only has this been happening, but it's been happening since the beginning of the year. And she kind of gives herself a little bit of a pat on the back, like, I've been dealing with them. I've been handling them without you. But as the year has gone on, things have gotten progressively worse. So if we're thinking about Educator of the Year, when a teacher is usually being recognized, it's towards the end of the school year. It's usually around April, sometimes May. So we're saying August, September, October, November, December, January, February, March. We're talking 6 or 7 months this teacher has been dealing with something and has not let the family know. If this is the family's first time hearing this, this is going to be a little bit jarring. And the parent responds, worse how? And then Ms. Teague says, it started out small, calling out answers without raising their hand, and now they're throwing books. And the parent says, the right answers are the wrong answers. So the parent is pushing back and saying, okay, calling out answers, what's the big deal? As a teacher who's trying to teach and get information out, somebody being disruptive, that is a big deal. And Ms. Teague answers right away and says, either way, it's disruptive. And she says, I know we both want what's best. And then the parent says, so what do you want from me? And Ms. Teague says, well, I thought. And the parent says, cuts her off and says, thought what exactly? And Ms. Teague says, well, this wasn't my first option. His behavior has been getting progressively worse, and I have been trying to make sure he has a successful time at school. So Ms. Teague is trying to say, you know, me calling you in today wasn't something I wanted to do. It wasn't the first thing I wanted to go to, but I have been trying to deal with this on my own, and it's been getting progressively worse. So I just want to stop right here and say that I am huge on family connection. That is something I live by as an educator. And I believe family connection is so important and so vital. I do know that there are many cases where the parent doesn't want to be involved. They want you as the educator, or you as the educator and your system or team of people, to handle school things at school while they handle home things at home. I do understand that. However, I also understand the importance of helping families understand just how important their role is in their child's education. And it's something that I teach and impress upon families before they start school, day one of school, whether they want to hear it or not, whether I get on their nerves, whether it is something that is just not popular to say or hear. It is something that is taught explicitly to families so that we can start off with an understanding that this is what school is, period. So that we can get off on a better, not a better foot, so that we can try to get things going in the proper direction without there being too many gaps in communication or issues happening where the families don't know what's going on. So, after Ms. Teague says, I've been trying to make sure he's having a successful time at school, the parent says, ain't nobody stopping you from doing that. And then Ms. Teague says, he's kind of stopping me, actually. So she's putting the ownership on the child. And the question I brought up before is, should we be putting the ownership on a child? If this child is in first grade, most likely they're 6 or 7. And should we expect a 6 or 7-year-old to have some emotional intelligence, have some emotional skills to be able to self-regulate? We should be expecting that. Yes, absolutely. Should the teacher have class management skills in order to help the child understand how to access those social emotional tools in order to self-regulate in class? Yes, absolutely. Should the family at home be communicating with the child and letting them know that they expect for the child to use those tools in class when they're not around? Yes, absolutely. All three people, the teacher, the student, and the family, should be involved with helping that child understand how to access their tools so that they can be successful at school, those social emotional tools. So when she says he's kind of stopping me, actually, it's like she's putting all the ownership on him. And then the parent claps back and says, he's seven. You can't control a seven-year-old. And then Ms. Teague says, Cassandra, it's not about control. We're setting him up to be the best student he can be. You know we're a team. And then the parent says, we are not a team. I don't see how he can be the best student he can be with a teacher like you. That was really harsh. I know harsher words have been said, but that was harsh and hurtful. And Ms. Teague says, very appropriately, excuse me? And then the family member says, now my boss is calling. I took time out of my day away from my job to hear you complain about my son, and you're not even doing your job. Now, she may not have had the same inflection that I have, but I totally understand the sentiment, because the family member is actually right. Ms. Teagues is complaining. There wasn't anything positive that Ms. Teagues said about the child during this in-person visit. And Ms. Teague says, I'm doing the best I can with your son. The parent, family member says, if this is the best you can do, you are the worst teacher that I have ever seen. And you know what? You're right. Call me Miss O'Neill. Got me down here wasting my time. And the parent walks out, and poor Miss Teagues is left kind of like, what just happened? She probably thought, if I could put myself in her shoes, in these fictional shoes, Miss Teagues probably thought that this was going to go much different, that she was going to call the family member down and they were going to work something out. They were going to come up with a plan and things were going to get better for Deshaun. That's not what happened. Instead, she was insulted and called the worst teacher. And that's hard when you have gone to school for so long and you have probably taken out loans and you have studied to become a teacher, and you finally get your classroom and you finally get a chance to do something that you feel very passionate about, just to be told that you're the worst at it. That's really hard. However, I want to shine a light on some things that could have gone differently. And if you are an educator listening to this right now, this is more for you than it is for the family. And I'm not saying that the family member in this fictional world was right, but I'm also not saying that they were wrong. All I'm saying is, as educators, it is so important that we remember a few things that we can do when we're speaking with families that can help us help the family, help us help the family. It is a very cyclical process that just makes things better for everyone. So one of the things that I was taught early on in my career was the sandwich approach. And that is, you sandwich, you have your two pieces of bread, and those are going to be your two positive statements. And then in the middle, you have your negative statement, but you're always, always, always going to begin and end with something positive. And I've heard a lot of teachers say, well, I can't find anything positive to say. Like, what can I possibly say? where we can all find something positive to say about a child. And one of the examples I had in the episode that I recorded previously was perhaps Deshaun was really good at art, and he was really good at putting colors together, and he had just an eye for taking two colors and making a new color. And this was something maybe that the art specialist told you, or something you noticed. That is something you can bring up. And you might be thinking, well, what does this have to do with calling out the answers at the inappropriate time? Or what does this have to do with throwing books? And we know that throwing books can be very harmful. What does this have to do with that? Well, one thing we can try to do is connect the two. And we can talk about Deshaun's creativity or art that we have noticed. It's one thing that I try to do is point out something I have seen the child do that points back to something I know that the parent probably already knows. So if I say, I noticed that Deshaun can take two colors and make them into a new color that's just so wonderful, and the art that he comes up with, wow, that orange and that yellow that he put together that made this beautiful orange, or that blue and red that he put together that made this beautiful purple. And while you're talking, more than likely you might see the parent facade start to crack a little, because they might start to agree with you, like, yeah, I have seen my child put colors together. Like, and they might even give you an example, like, yeah, there was one day I came in and Deshaun was doing something and he has some beautiful artwork and now he's got it all over his walls. And you can be like, yeah, like, he is so talented. He is so good at putting things together. And you know what? Perhaps we can make a plan that he is able to do more of the things that he enjoys when he follows more of the expectations we have in the class. And one of the expectations is you wait your turn to speak, because we're learning about conversation. We're learning about conversational skills and when we should speak. So when he is able to follow those rules or those expectations, then perhaps he can earn more opportunities in order to, you know, be able to do more art. Or maybe he can go down, maybe he can work something out with the art teacher and he can display more of his work. Now, also another side note, we don't want to necessarily have, you know, a giant point system where we make it a big thing so that Deshaun is made aware of what's happening and has to sort of perform in order to get the things that he believes that he wants. I think it is so important that if you're working with the family, that whatever plan or system you come up with is something that is between you and the family, and you only let the child know when you need to let them know, like on a need to know basis. And we can get into more of that in another episode, but for example, I had a student who was very excited about being able to do something at the end of the day. My team and I had a huge plan that involved us as the team and the family as well. But we didn't tell the child the plan. We were just like, hey, do you want to be able to do this thing at the end of the day? Great. So this is what we're going to do to be able to get that thing at the end of the day. But it was never like, here's the whole point system that we're going to display on the board. And every time Deshaun does this thing, everybody's going to see the points that he earns. Everybody's going to know. We're going to talk about it in front of everybody. We're going to make it known that this is what we're doing. This was just a conversation between myself and the student. And if another student overheard, that was different than me kind of broadcasting it, but it was very individualized for that student and it worked wonders. So you can have a plan that is very private and personal for a student where other students don't have to know, and the point system is not something that's broadcast. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't have a point system, but I'm just saying there are ways to sort of like earn quote unquote points that don't even exist. They're not physical. They're just something that you're noticing throughout the day. And you're like, you know what? You've done so much of this already that I know you're going to earn this. So it's being very flexible even in our thinking as teachers. Now, if you have a student that needs a very specific number in order to get to the reward, if the student has an individualized plan, that's also something very different. So you really have to do what's going to work best for your student. But the whole point of this spiel that I'm giving right now is that we really do have to pay attention to the student. We really do have to pay attention to what they do well. Find something they do well. Find anything and work with them with that. It could be the most minute thing, something that they absolutely enjoy that you would never think a child enjoys. As long as it's safe and as long as it doesn't involve harm of themselves or anyone else, it's totally okay to use that thing that they enjoy or the thing that they are good at to talk about something positively in a parent meeting, because you're going to get the parents' attention. You're going to get the family to want to sit up and notice you because you notice their child. So talk about something positive. Then you talk about the negative thing, and then you say, well, let's bring that positive spin back. Let's spin the block, if you will. Let's go back. And let's use that to help the child. So I am sure that if this fictional episode or this fictional world of Abbott Elementary were to ever happen again and they were to use these tips, I believe there would have been a much different outcome for Miss Teagues, for that family member, for Deshaun in the following weeks before the end of school. It can definitely happen. And I am excited to hear about any changes that you might make as an educator, or if this affected you as a family member, how you might approach communication with your child's teacher, understanding how important it is throughout the year. Well, thank you so much for listening. Again, my name is Melody Barnes of the Family Nuggets Podcast. To learn more about me, what I do, and how I do the things I do, please go to Melody B, that's MELODEE, and the letter B.com. You'll learn more about Family Nuggets. You'll learn more about the books that I have authored. One has been published, Dear Curly Hair, and another book is being published this year in 2023. So come join me there. Follow my mailing list because I do have a major announcement coming up. And thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening. For more information about this podcast and other services offered by Family Nuggets, just go to familynuggets.com. That's FamilyNuggets.com.